All right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here today, and I guess happy Epiphany. Is that, I think that's what it is this week, and celebrating kind of the journey of the wise men. Our focus today isn't going to be on that, but just thought I'd mention it anyway. I also realized today I have to be a little bit careful about mentioning the Seahawks, because as we're here on Saturday morning, they haven't played yet, but probably most of you are watching this on Sunday morning, and the game will have been over. And so I can't say anything that might jinx them today, but also don't want to discourage anybody if the result isn't what we're hoping it to be by tomorrow. So anyways, hopefully they do well, and you're in good spirits if you pay attention to that sort of thing. Other than that, I don't have a lot of announcements today, other than to mention that our ladies' Bible study is going to be starting this week. I think a couple people were kind of expecting it to have started last week, but this Tuesday is the day that that's starting. If you signed up for that, or if you sent an email trying to sign up for that and you didn't hear anything back, please let me know right away, and that way I can make sure you're on the list and you have the Zoom link, but that will be starting on Tuesday. The other thing I wanted to mention is that today I'm giving us a sermon that is kind of a freestanding sermon by itself, but next week we're going to be starting a series in the book of Mark. And so if you want to start reading through the book of Mark or focus on chapter 1 for next week, that's going to be our next series. And so I really encourage you to start reading through and kind of following along with us in the book of Mark. But it's going to be a nice kind of deep dive into the book of Mark, taking us through the Gospel of Mark. So that'll happen next week. But for today, what we're going to be doing, I've titled my sermon, Lean In and Reach Out, and Moving into 2021 is the subtitle. And what I want to do today for us is I want to do three things. First of all, I want to take a minute to look back on the year 2020, specifically speaking, look back on the things that our church did during 2020 and what kind of our year of ministry looked like in 2020. So not necessarily the current events and things like that, but what did our church do in 2020? What did that look like? Then we're going to take a minute to kind of look ahead at 2021, and specifically I want to review for us our mission statement. Why do we exist here as a church in Edmonds? What is our purpose, and how do we accomplish that in this next year, given that there are going to be a lot of uncertainties still for this year? And then lastly, I want to talk about four ways that I really believe we need our people to lean in and reach out. Four practical steps that I would like us to focus on as a church that would really help us as a church to accomplish our mission. When we were in Panama, our pastor in Panama, every year at the new year, he would have a sermon talking about the state of the church. And so kind of like the State of the Union address or something like that, but really looking at how is our church doing. And I found that to be a really helpful exercise as you move into a new year to just look at some of these things that happened in the past, look at a little bit about the future and our plans, and then how does that affect what we do here in the present. So that's what I'd like us to do today. But before we do that, would you please bow your heads with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you for today, and I thank you for this opportunity to gather here together, whether it's online, virtually, or in person. I thank you for the things that you're doing in our midst. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would guide us, that you would continue to change and transform us, that we would look more and more like Jesus, and that your kingdom would be established here on earth in Edmonds as it is in heaven. Please bless us today, I pray, Lord. Amen. So to start things off then, I want to start by looking back on the year 2020. Now you may remember this or you may not remember this, but last year we started the year with somewhat of a theme for the year, and the theme that I had for us was know, grow, and overflow. This idea that we need to really pour ourselves into knowing God and knowing Jesus more intimately, more personally, that as you enter into the presence of Jesus, that should begin to transform you and change you and help you to grow. And then the more that you grow, the more that it overflows from your life and spills onto the people around you and the different environments that you work in and interact in your community, in your world, and then hopefully helping others to see Jesus in you and giving you opportunities to bring others to Jesus. In order for us to lean into that, this no grow overflow, we had a lot of different plans. Some of my plans included finishing the book of 1 Corinthians. I planned on doing a number of different studies, beginning with the study of Lent, a book called The Jesus I Never Knew, and planned to do some other book studies after that. I had plans with our consistory to go through a book called The Great Evangelical Recession, and we were going to start reading that and talking about that together. Our teens had started a Sunday school class and were going through their own study, and our kids had recently adopted a new curriculum and were going through their own study. And then on top of that, I had launched a little study of sacraments for the kids, and we had had, I think, one lesson in that sacraments class, kind of a 4 or 5 part series for that. In terms of outreach, we had different plans of doing our Easter weekend with the Good Friday service, the Easter festival, the Sunday, Easter Sunday with our egg hunt and things for the kids. I planned during the summer to do our kids' camp like we normally do. I also wanted to launch some community barbecues where we could just invite friends and neighbors and grill up some hot dogs and hamburgers and use that as an outreach. We had plans, of course, to do our haunted church at Halloween and to advertise our Christmas Eve service more broadly. The previous year, we had done 2 services for Christmas Eve. We were going to try and do that again and see if we could invite friends and neighbors to attend that. But, of course, a little thing called COVID happened, and all of those plans seemed to go by the wayside. But that doesn't mean we didn't do anything. In fact, what we did do is we had to learn to transition everything that we were doing online. And thanks to Paul and John, we were able to successfully transition our services online. And if you remember way back when we started this online church thing, at first it was only audio with slides, right? And we did that for a little while. Then we started having these little introduction videos. If you remember me kind of walking through the church and leading you into church, or perhaps you remember the week where I played all my instruments for you and just showed you how musical I am, that was a fun week. And then eventually we were able to get the tools and technology we needed, and we started having video as well, and we're able to do that and fully transition to that online service. And I believe it's been very effective and successful. But the things that we were learning about using these formats, we did a study for a little while on just kind of responding to times of adversity. And I gave a sermon on Psalm 23 and then a sermon on Jesus going through the storm. After that, we decided to go into a series in the book of Acts, just feeling like we needed a series that would work both for adults and kids and teens. And so we went through the book of Acts together. Eventually, we finished Acts, and so we decided to go back and finish up 1 Corinthians. So we were able to finish that up. And then, of course, we just came out of our Advent series, going through the attributes of Advent. And so there's a lot of rich and deep theological and biblical content there that we were able to go through this past year. Our kids and teens also learn to transition and switch, and oftentimes change and switch over much better than the adults were able to do to this online format. I had a study that we launched where I was discipling a couple of our teens, going through the book of Mark with them, and then they turned around and had groups with the kids, and I've been doing Zoom meetings going through the book of Mark with them, and I believe there are about 15 or so kids and teens going through these different studies. Wendy and I also did a study. I did a study for the middle school boys, and she did a study for our younger girls. So a lot of kids involved in these Zoom Bible studies, and they're about halfway through the book of Mark, which is part of why I've chosen to do our next series in the book of Mark as a way of engaging them as well and then building on what they've been learning in their study. Other than that, we finished very strong this year with our Christmas Eve service. I know a lot of you really enjoyed that and have commented to John and I about that, and I really appreciate that. Last time, Paul and I checked 100 different views of that service, and that's really impressive for our church. Most weeks, I think we average about 15 or 16 views for our services. And then we have about 15 people here in the building, so maybe 30 views there. Now, of course, one view doesn't necessarily just mean one person. One view can be a whole family as well. So to have 100 different views is really impressive for us and represents a lot of people watching it. And I know some of you have watched it multiple times because you enjoyed it and seeing the kids and the teens doing the readings and those things. But it was just a great way for us to finish the year in terms of what we've been learning and studying and different ways that God is speaking to us. I do want to mention how we did in terms of our finances this last year. Now, I know that a lot of churches have really struggled during this time because people have the habit or the tendency when they're not in the building to stop their giving. And our church saw a little bit of a dip there. Initially, we started off fairly strong, then we dropped off a little bit, and I think for the past 6 months or so, we've been about $1,000 behind our budget each month. We did finish the year in the red, so to speak, about $10,000 short of our budget and our expenses, but given the circumstances, we've done pretty well, and thankfully, we have reserves that we're able to draw on, and so we've done okay there. The really cool thing that I like to think about when it comes to our finances is the fact that we have been able to continue to support all of our regular partner ministries all throughout this year. So we haven't dropped off any of our giving this year. In fact, we increased our giving and added two new partners, Pastor Indra in Nepal, and then the orphanage, Casa Providencia in Panama. And so we increased our giving and have just decided as a consistory to take that step of faith, believing that God will provide what we need as we continue to serve him and reach out in these ways. And then I wanted to mention this past week, I got a couple different reports from some of these partner ministries. Vision House sent me a quick report indicating that this last year, they had at least five different families graduate from their program and go on to have their own housing. And this doesn't mean they got kicked out. This means that they are now able to sustain themselves, that they've done so well in the program and gotten really stable in their jobs and their work that they're able to move out of that transitional housing and have their own apartment. So at least five families moving out and graduating from that program, which is great news, and that's the total goal of that program of Vision House. And then we talked about the fact that they finished their new apartments, and so they've been able to move in 10 new families into these new apartments and are continuing to move in other families into the apartments that are available as well. And so that was a huge step for them, and we're able to be a small part of that through our regular giving to them. The second email I got this week was from Pastor Indra in Nepal. And this last week, Pastor Indra baptized 10 new people, 10 new believers into the church, into the family of God. And he goes up regularly into the mountains and villages around Tibet and witnesses and evangelizes. And they've planted multiple churches in those areas. And so the celebration of 10 new believers. And if you can imagine, these believers get baptized in these freezing cold rivers coming off of the Tibetan mountains. But what a joyous celebration it is. And for us as a church, we're able to be a small part of that. Because of our giving, because of our support for them, we get to take a part of the blessings that are happening there and the work that they're doing. And so these are exciting things that we've been able to be a part of and keep going, even in the midst of very difficult circumstances with the finances and just a dip in our giving and things like that. So then I ask myself, well, what did we learn during this year? And I realize we're not out of the woods yet with COVID, and so there's still, I think, a lot to process. And eventually I hope to come back around to this question when it's all over, hopefully, and ask it again. And I've been asking this of you along the way as well. What are you learning through this time? But specifically thinking of 2020, what did we learn? I believe the biggest thing we learned are these two verses here. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of man makes plans, but the Lord directs his steps. In Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but only the Lord's will prevails. For me, this has been a year of change and transition, learning to be flexible, learning to be adaptable, changing up the way that we do things, and understanding and recognizing that God is the only one who truly knows what's going on, and God is the one who is directing the things. And we can make plans and have ideas, but ultimately we have to submit to him. The book of James puts it this way. It says, some of you say, today or tomorrow we will go to some city. We will stay there a year and do business and make money. But you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a mist. You can see it for a short time, but then it goes away. So you should say, if the Lord wants, we will live and do this or that. This year has been a year that has tested us in a lot of different ways. It's tested our commitment to Jesus, our commitment to the church, our commitment to one another. It's tested our patience and our perseverance. Hopefully it's taught us to be more grateful and not to take some of these simple things like hugs and donut sundaes for granted. But ultimately, it's also just been a test and a lesson in trusting Jesus and continuing to maintain our faith in him and believe and trust that he is in control, that he is working things for his glory and moving the plans and the history of the earth forward in exactly the way that he wants. And so it's something that I know that we will continue to need to do and learn even this next year. So then speaking of this next year, 2021, what are we called to do? And how do we keep moving forward even in the midst of the uncertainty and the constant change and things in fluctuation? And to help us answer this question, I want to review for us the church's mission statement. Because this is the statement that is supposed to ground us in who we are. And no matter the circumstances, we should always come back to this. And so the church mission statement, the mission statement of Faith Community Church is this. We exist to be genuine disciples of Jesus, transforming our community with his love. When I read this, I also like to make slight adjustments every now and then. I think when it says to be, I also think that also means to make genuine disciples of Jesus. And when it says transforming our community, I believe it extends just beyond just this community, also to the whole world. And so talking about our missions, partnerships around the world. But let me go through this for you real quick, just highlighting a few things. First of all, to be genuine disciples of Jesus. Matthew 28:19-20, which is the Great Commission, at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, the last words that Matthew records Jesus saying, he gives them this commission, this task. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. In order for us to go and make disciples, we must first be disciples. We must first be following Jesus and growing in our knowledge and our love for Jesus. It's not about having accepted Jesus at one point in our lives and then just saying, oh, I'm done, that's good enough for me now. It's about constantly moving forward, constantly growing and being transformed by the love and the grace of Jesus. So we're called to be disciples of Jesus first, and then we turn around and look at ways that we can make disciples and help one another grow and also reach out to others. But one of the interesting things about our mission statement is the fact that it says that we are meant to be genuine disciples. And the fact that our church chose to put that word in there tells us that there's such a thing as a non-genuine or disingenuous disciple. And we see this in our culture all the time, right? People who say they love Jesus or believe in God, and yet their life doesn't show it. People who say that they're Christians, but they don't look anything like Jesus. Our mission here is to be genuine disciples of Jesus, to truly be following him and taking his word and applying it to our lives. Jesus said in the book of John, he said, true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And these are the kind of worshipers the Father is looking for. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is looking for sincere, genuine disciples, people who are truly living out this life of faith, not just by name, but actually putting it into practice. And so this is our goal, this is our aim, is for each one of us to continue to be growing and moving forward and never just kind of stalling out or saying, you know what, I'm old enough now, I've been following Jesus for long enough, there's really nothing more I need to learn or do or change about my behaviors or my attitudes. No, that's a prideful attitude. Instead, we need to have this humble attitude that says there's always more progress to be made, both for myself and in helping the people around me to know Jesus as well. Gandhi was once quoted as saying, I like your Christ, but not your Christianity. He said, I believe in the teachings of Christ, but you on the other side of the world do not. I read the Bible faithfully, but I see little in Christendom that those who profess faith pretend to see. Right? What a sad kind of indictment of the Christian church, right? That this religious leader of Hinduism would say, look, I love the teachings of Jesus, but clearly you do not because I don't see it in you. Right? We need to actually be living into the faith to the extent that people will be able to see it. They would see us as being little Christs, right? That's what the name Christian means, that we are imitators of Jesus, that they would see Jesus in us. The next part of our statement that I want to highlight is the fact that as we are living into this reality then, we are meant to be transforming our community, and I extend it and say the world, with Christ's love. The more that we interact with and relate to Jesus and God's word, the more that is meant to spill out onto the world around us and make a difference in the world around us. And as true and genuine believers of Jesus, we are meant to be looking for and taking steps to help us make a difference in the world, to help us to reach our neighbors with the good news of the gospel, to help bring Christ's love and Christ's truth into our workplace, into our neighborhood, into our city and our state and our country. And what are we doing to live into this and to help bring about this transformation? And this transforming work happens both on an individual level and on a congregational level. That we work at it together through our outreach events and just our presence here in the community. But then as you are going out into your daily lives, that you're bringing that with you as well. And bringing that into your relationships and into your work environment and the people that you're interacting with. Do people on your street know and recognize you as being a follower of Jesus? Are your interactions with your neighbors and your coworkers and your schoolmates, are they ones where people go, you know what, there's something different about that person. Man, I want to know what that is. I want to be a part of that as well. Do they hear about your church life and does it make them jealous because they're like, man, I want to have a community that's like that? When I was a kid, I may have shared this with you before, I had a best friend named Richard, and I would go over to Richard's house all the time, and Richard had a basketball court and a pool in his house, and so we would hang out and play sports all the time, and one day I spent the night at Richard's house, and it was a weekend, and on Sunday morning, his mom said, hey, would you like me to take you to church? And I was kind of shocked and surprised because I just assumed that we wouldn't go to church since I was staying at their house. And I said, sure. And she shared with me, she said, you know what? I've noticed that you're different than a lot of the other friends that Richard is friends with. and I want to know what that difference is, and I really want to go to church with you." And she became a Christian not too long after from simply seeing me interact with her friend, or with her son, my friend. And I had no idea I was making any impact on them. I was just kind of being who I felt God had called me to be. But she had seen something different. And that's what it's supposed to be like, that people would notice that and be drawn to that. So are we transforming our community with the love and the truth of Jesus Christ? So this is who we are meant to be. This is who we are called to be. This is why we exist as a church. And if we're not doing these things, then we're not doing what God has called us to do and to be. So then how are we going to do that this next year, 2021? And the next thing I want to focus on for us is four main ideas, four main points, things that when I look at our church, these are kind of high priority items for us. These are kind of the big need items that I feel like our church really needs to step into. And so I've come up with a little theme for us this year that is lean in and reach out. And you see the little picture here of these parachute team, right? They're all leaning in, but then they're all reaching out. And it doesn't exactly capture what I'm talking about because I want us to lean in together and reach out to one another. But then there's that other dynamic of reaching out to those outside of our church as well. But leaning in has to do with this year really leaning into growing in our walk with God. What are the things that we can do to help ourselves and to help each other to know Jesus and experience the love and the joy and the peace of Jesus this year? And then reaching out, what are the things that we can do to reach outside of ourselves, to come alongside one another, and then to reach out to our neighbors and our community and all the way across the world to help others to know Jesus too. So these are the four things I believe our church really needs, and I want to urge you to consider at least one of them and hopefully more than one of these for this next year. The first one I believe that we need everyone in our church to really lean into is faithful attendance. Now, a lot of people in our church are very faithful in attendance, but one of the things that we've noticed with our numbers with the online service, when we first went online, we were averaging about 50 views a week. And then as it went on and the lockdown kind of extended, this dropped to now we're about 14, 15 each week, plus maybe the 15 in the building, so right about 30. But that's still quite a bit less than the 50. And I don't know who those views represents, but it tells me that there are people that have kind of checked out, that there are people that have just said, you know what, I don't need to be there, or it's online, it's not the same thing, and they've just decided, it's not for me, or maybe they're hit and miss. I oftentimes will have people ask me about different things that I'm like, you know what, I just kind of said that at the beginning of my sermon, or I gave that announcement, or obviously you weren't there, right? Because you wouldn't be asking this right now. Or maybe they just forgot. But I think even before the lockdown, you know, there are a lot of people that kind of call our church their church home, but we only see them every now and then. And it's really hard to grow as a church, to grow as a family and as a community when we're only seeing people every now and then. Or when you're only catching part of the message, right? You only hear one sermon out of the four, or you missed a chapter in the book of Corinthians, because these things are meant to build on each other, right? And the music that John picks out when he picks out our worship sets is meant to teach us and to help us draw closer to Jesus. And the sermons that I pick out are messages that I believe God has placed on my heart for our congregation. But when we miss out on big chunks of those things, then we're missing out on important words that God is trying to speak to us, ways that God is trying to shape us and transform us. And then beyond that, this faithful attendance, it's not just about, you know, listening to a message or being at church. It's also about attending to one another, reaching out to one another, continuing to build relationships with one another, even when we can't see each other face to face. Are there people that you are connecting with on a weekly basis? Are there things that you can be doing, whether it's giving somebody a phone call or sending an email or having a little Zoom chat with somebody that would help you connect on a deeper level relationally with each other, to build those relationships, to keep each other accountable, to encourage and inspire one another and be there for one another? And so I encourage you this year to really consider, how can you kind of take the next step in faithfully attending to our church? Whether that just means regularly watching our music and our sermons, or whether it means stepping outside of your little kind of bubble of people that you know and being willing to reach out to somebody that you haven't heard from in a while, or just really developing a deeper relationship, being a part of one of these Zoom studies, or serving in some way as a Zoom leader. What can you do to take that next step in achieving this and being more consistent with your attendance and your participation? This is one of the holes that I'm seeing at times in our church. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says, "It was he," meaning Jesus, "who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." So all of these different giftings that he's given to the church, and specifically oftentimes leaders in the church. And the reason that he's given these gifts, he says, is to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and so become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If we truly want to be mature in Christ, to grow in Christ, to continue taking strides towards attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we have to do that together. It happens in community as each one of us brings our gifts to the table and we exercise those gifts in serving one another and ministering to one another. And specifically for John and I, you know, and Paul, we pour ourselves out week after week putting these things together to help our church to grow. And are we doing everything we can to take advantage of these gifts that God has given us, of these ways that God is speaking to us and trying at least to move in our midst? So I encourage you to consider ways that you can do this, even if the restrictions and the lockdown and whatnot continue. The next step then, I would like to invite and ask you to consider becoming a member of our church. And some of you already are, but we have a lot of people at our church who call our church their church home and have been here even for a number of years and have yet to kind of take that step of becoming a member. Now, in fairness to those of you who are kind of new to our church, I haven't offered that in the last year and a half, and I don't remember when the last time Phil offered that before my time here. But what I'd like to say to you is, if you feel like this is a step you're ready to take, please let me know, and I would be happy to create a little Zoom class that we would be able to go through together in preparation for that. But for me, membership is a very important thing, and I believe it's a biblical and theological thing as well. And one of the problems is, when we think of membership, most people assume that there's no such thing as membership in the Bible, right? You don't see that word there. You don't see somebody saying, hey, you need to be a member of a local church and whatnot. But I believe it's assumed. I believe it's there, and the way that we see it happen in the New Testament is that when people would become Christians, the very first thing that the disciples and the apostles would have them do is they would have them become or be baptized. And in baptizing them, they were giving their allegiance to Jesus, but they were also giving their allegiance to the church. And of course, in those days, there was only one church, and both across kind of the Middle East and as they moved up into Rome and Europe, there was only one church, and it was all connected back to the church in Jerusalem. But then most of the cities also only had just one church. So you didn't have a choice of going to this church or that church or being part of that denomination or this denomination. But as soon as you were baptized into the faith, that was your initiation into the church. And then you were taught and expected to be committed to that church and to be submitted to that church. And so that was kind of the membership in those days. And their baptisms were these public declarations, right? You would get baptized in a river or a lake or a pond out in public. And so your neighbors are kind of walking by and seeing and going, hey, so-and-so has now become one of those Christian people. And it was obvious and it was well known. And it was even risky in those days because a lot of people would get persecuted or made fun of or despised by their community for joining what they called this Christian sect in those days. And so your initiation into the church and your membership into the church was through baptism. Well, what happened then is as churches multiplied, and specifically when it moved over to the Americas and we started having different denominations, they felt like, well, we're losing this sense of people really being committed to one body and one congregation. And so let's have a step here that really shows that this is who they are who they belong to. And in committing yourself to the church, you're doing a couple different things. You're saying, first of all, this is the body that I'm going to invest in terms of serving and using my gifts, in terms of helping others grow closer to Jesus. But also, I'm asking for and inviting the church to help me and to hold me accountable to my growth in Jesus as well. And so it's this willing step of saying, look, church, I need your help, and I want you and invite you to help me in very real and personal ways so that I will stay true to Jesus, so that I won't give up on him when hardships come and when persecution comes. And so it's this mutual partnership, so to speak, saying, I am committed, but I'm also submitted to the church and asking for the help, and then I will be a part of the ministry of the church and helping them reach all that God has called them to do and to be as well. When I think about membership, I like to compare it to marriage, and specifically to a godly biblical marriage. Now, when you look at the Bible, marriage is meant to be for life, but it's this commitment that says we are going to work through our problems and love one another no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way. And so when you join a church, you are saying the same thing. You're saying, look, when things get difficult, when the road gets bumpy and rough, I'm not just going to bail and go find a new family. I'm committed and I'm part of this family. And being a part of a church without membership is kind of just like dating, right? You're just kind of checking things out and seeing, you know, oh, is this group okay or not? And maybe there's, you know, mutual enjoyment there and benefit there. But until you take that step, there's always that door out, isn't there? There's always that way out that says, you know what? If things don't go the way that I like, then I'm out of here. I'm going to find something else. But God's design is to have us be fully committed so that when we go through those rough patches, we won't give up. But we'll lean in even further and work through those. And that's when you see the real fruit and growth, is when you're willing to stick it out and to really talk through the issues and the problems and help each other. And that's, I think, why membership is so important, because it's that step of commitment that says, you know what, I'm really going to plug in and do everything I can to help the church grow and then allow them to speak into my life to help me to grow to my full potential as well. Now, of course, just saying you're a member, becoming a member, doesn't fulfill your commitment, right? You actually have to live it. And so for those of you who are members, this is an encouragement as well to continue to do the things that you committed to do when you joined that, and to continue being a part of the fullness of our ministry and life here at the church. Now, I do want to say there is kind of one big difference between marriage and membership, and that is that marriage is supposed to be for life, but there are a few good reasons to cancel or revoke a membership from a church, and I want to mention those very quickly. One of the first reasons that you might cancel or revoke your membership at a church is because you move to another town, right? So if you move out of state or out of town and God has called you to a different location, then I believe the right thing to do is to tell your church about it, talk to your church, ask them to kind of revoke or cancel that membership. If it's within the same denomination, usually we just transfer memberships. But then what a church should do is pray for you and bless you on your way and send you at that new location. And we've had that happen with some of our congregants, and they still have very close and warm ties to our church, and every now and then they'll come visit us, but they've left in a positive way, so that relationship is still strong and still there, even though their membership may have changed. Now, another reason why membership may change is if God has strategically called you to a different ministry within this geographic area. So, for example, one of the ways we see this happen is if somebody feels really called to help plant another church in the city or in the town. And so maybe God is calling you to a specific ministry or new ministry. And again, the proper way to do that then would be to talk to your consistory, to talk to the pastor, to have them help you discern that. And then hopefully if they agree and feel that calling is true and strong, they would pray for you and bless you and maybe even support you in that new ministry. But that would be another good reason to maybe change your membership or cancel your membership in one church and join another one. The third reason, and this is really only in drastic times, would be if your church has lost their way in terms of continuing to follow the Bible and continuing to honor and glorify Jesus. And if a church, and every now and then this happens, church kind of goes off track, I think at that point the best thing to do is to talk to your church, to talk to your pastors, your elders, share your concerns with them, see if you can't understand their perspective, have them understand yours, and then continue working through it, continue to help them, maybe see some of the blind spots that maybe you are seeing. But if there isn't agreement, then you would have a conversation with them and go, I feel like I can't continue here because this isn't agreeing with what I believe the Bible's telling us to do. But even then, the proper procedure would be have a conversation with your church. Do what you can to help them grow, to help them mature if you're seeing problems. But then even in going, you would say, let's try and leave amicably. Let's try and leave in a way that there is still a bridge between us, recognizing that God can do a work there long term. So those are some of the things that I see in terms of membership. But I would really encourage those of you who aren't members of our church to be praying about it and ask God, maybe this is a time where you can take that next step, that next level of commitment, so to speak, and opening yourself up and allowing God and the church and the body to use you for the glory of his kingdom and to speak into your life and to help you grow. So I encourage many of you to consider that. Number three, I would like to ask you to consider increasing your giving. And really what I'm talking about here is continuing to take steps until we are at the 10% tithe, or maybe even if you're in a position in life where you can give more than that you would consider giving more than that. When our team went through the Cultivating Generous Congregations, they did a number of studies about the giving in our church. And one of the things they found is that there is a very small group of people in our church that give consistently and generously and we're guessing, but are at that kind of 10% level, the tithing level. And then a bigger portion of our church that either just gives sporadically or that is far below what we would just kind of as a general assumption believe would be a 10% level. And for me, this isn't so much about our church's finances. For me, this is really about your walk with God and your relationship with God. And there are very important reasons why God calls us to give and to be a part of his ministry and his work through our finances. And one of those reasons is to help us continue to grow in our trust of Jesus. And finances and money are one of the biggest areas that people struggle to trust Jesus with. Right, where we believe we are the ones working for our money. We are the ones who have to provide for ourselves. We are the ones who kind of have to hold it together and do all the right planning to make sure we have what we need. And when you get kind of locked into that kind of mindset, it takes your eyes off of the fact that God is the true provider, that God is our true sustainer, that God is the one who owns all the resources in the world and has them at his disposal to do whatever he wants with. They're his resources. And so tithing and giving is a way for us to practice those faith muscles and those trust muscles and giving back to God what is already his and saying to God, okay, God, this seems like a big chunk of money to me. And I have a lot of bills, and I have a lot of needs, but I'm trusting you to provide for me. I'm trusting you to do for me what I need. And in surrendering and giving back to you this money, these donations, these checks, I'm believing and choosing by faith to believe that you will make a way, that you will provide. When the tithe was instituted in the Old Testament, it was called the first fruits. And so these farmers would take the first 10% of their crops, kind of that very early crops that would come up, and they would give it back to God before seeing the rest of the crops grow up and be harvested. And so for them, it was this huge step of faith to say, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen in the next month. I don't know if there's going to be a drought. I don't know if there's going to be fires or if there's going to be floods. All of these things could come in and wipe out my crops. And here I am giving away my first fruits. And what if I don't have enough the rest of the year? But it was this act of faith and trust saying, okay, God, I'm giving it to you. And I'm trusting that you will provide for me. And so practicing giving regularly is this exercise of faith that strengthens our trust muscles. The other reason that giving is important is because the Bible very clearly tells us that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils and that we cannot serve both God and mammon, or God and money. And so idolizing money is a huge temptation, especially in our culture here in the U.S. We are so blessed and have so many means and luxuries in our life, but it's so easy to be lured into this kind of selfish and greedy mindset of pursuing kind of this life of luxury and pleasure, of kind of keeping up with the Joneses and all of these other kind of American ideals that we have. And when we give generously and even sacrificially, it helps to break that in us. And it helps to set us free to a certain extent from those temptations and from the sin of greed and selfishness. And so giving is really important in a life of faith to help you to defend yourself from those temptations. This past month, I've been really challenged in this area. When we went through the end of 1 Corinthians, we looked at a couple verses, I think, in 2 Corinthians, where Paul said, look, I don't want you to give so that you will be in hardship and then bless somebody else, but I'm asking you to give so that there would be equality. And he talked about equality or evenness or fairness between the churches and between the different classes, the upper class and the lower class of these believers, financially speaking. And I've been thinking about our partners across the world, and I've been thinking about specifically Pastor Indra and the ministry that he has and how he houses these orphans and these widows in his own home, and just their lifestyle, and how much more stuff and luxuries I have in my life. and asking myself, is there really equality there? Is there more that I could be doing and that our family could be doing to be a blessing to others, to invest in God's kingdom? And I think it's actually a really smart idea to think of your giving as an investment, right? Just like you would invest in different stocks, right? You are investing in the kingdom of God, but different than the stock market, this is a guaranteed return. And your return is going to blow your socks off, right? It's going to be way more than you ever even expected or anticipated. And so I really want to encourage you this next year to consider taking that next step. Trying to raise your giving, particularly for those of us who our income hasn't changed at all this year. Maybe you're in retirement and you still have the same steady income or from your savings or whatnot, or maybe you've kept your job and your income hasn't changed at all. What can we do to take that next step? What can we do maybe to increase our giving 1% or 2%? Are there causes or other ministries that would also benefit from an increase in your giving? People like Vision House or the Nourishing Network or some of these other ministries that we support. So consider that step as well. And then lastly, I want to encourage you to really consider fully committing yourself to reaching at least one person with the gospel this year. Now, obviously, our call is not just to reach one person each or focus on only one person, right? And God will bring people into your life that will be surprises or strangers at the grocery store that you can impact and be a blessing to. But what I mean by fully commit is I would really like to encourage each one of us to start off by praying and asking God, God, what is the name of one person that I can really focus on this year, focus my energy on? And then as God reveals the name of a person, write it down. Put it on a note card and hang it on your fridge or put it in your Bible. And then every day commit to praying for that person, asking God to move in their life, to open up their hearts. And then I would ask you to look for steps and ways that you can begin sharing the gospel with them. And maybe it just starts by asking them, oh, well, what do you believe about God? And just having very simple conversations. Or maybe it's an invitation to come to church or to watch church online. But then as you develop more of a relationship, maybe God will open doors for you to ask even deeper questions and look for opportunities to speak into their lives the truth and the love of Jesus, to share with them what you believe God has done for you and what he wants to do for them. And I'd love it if we all had at least one person we were focusing on this year, and we spent the whole year really praying and doing what we can to reach them, and then maybe at the end of the year, we'll have a handful of testimonies of people saying, you know what, I saw God do something amazing in that person's life this year, and I've seen them take the next steps in their relationship with God. And so can you maybe commit to at least just one person? And maybe some of you have a wider broadband there of able to handle more than one person, and I encourage you to do that. But of course, we're always looking for ways to reach others too. But maybe if we each would do at least one person, we would have at the end of this year, the same time next year, some amazing stories of what God has done. Would you consider doing that? So those are the four things that I would love for us to focus on this year. And I'd encourage you to take this into consideration and to pray about it. And a couple weeks ago, I asked you two questions. I said, what's one thing you can do this year to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus? And what's one thing you can do to help somebody else grow in their relationship with Jesus? And I think you can still ask the same question with these four points and go, is God calling me to any one of these? Or maybe to more than one of these? And what is God saying? What can I do to lean in and to reach out, to help us to be all that we can be and all that we're called to be as genuine disciples of Jesus Christ, transforming our community, transforming our world with his love? Are you in? Are you with us? Can we do this together? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this last year. I know that in many ways it's been a challenging and difficult year, and yet I also see your blessings all around us, different ways that you've moved and worked in our lives, and things that you've taught us and spoken to us, ways that you've challenged us and caused us to grow. And we thank you for those, Lord. As we look ahead, God, to this next year, even with ongoing challenges in our world, I pray, God, that you would help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful to the calling that you've given us as individuals and as a church, as a body, as an extension of your family here in Edmonds, Washington. Please, God, continue to move in our lives. Continue to reveal to us blind spots that we may have. Continue to rub off those rough edges. Help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus each and every day. And help us as a community to make a difference in the world around us, to truly bring your light and your love and your truth to the people around us, that we would see you glorified in and through us, Lord Jesus. This is my heart's desire, God, that you would be glorified. Please, God, move and work in our midst, I pray. At this time, would you please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer together?
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Guys, I realize this was a really long sermon today, but I thank you for hanging in there with me. God bless you guys, and have a great week. God bless.